discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Cambridge and ECM Group are not affiliated. Welcome to the ExitCoachRadio.com network and the Retirement Matters Radio Show, where you can hear cutting-edge ideas and strategies to help you plan ahead for your retirement years. Every week, we interview top advisors, authors, and business owners to help you plan with clarity and confidence. And now, here's your host, Buck Blanton.
We're back on the Retirement Matters Radio Show, and we have a special treat for you today. We have a global economist, Professor Amin Rajan from London, on the phone with us today. Dr. Rajan, how are you today?
I'm very well indeed. Good afternoon, Buck. Great to be on the show.
It's great to have you. Thank you so much for dealing with this time difference to deal with us on live radio.
No worries.
I wanted to have an opportunity for you to tell our listeners a little bit about you and a little bit about CREATE, the organization that you work with.
I am the CEO of CREATE Research, and our organization basically focuses on future trends in the investment world. We fundamentally look at changing asset allocations and how they affect different customer segments, and particularly customers in defined contribution segment and the retail segment as well. So the kind of work that we do is very much in line with the interest of your listeners.
We talked for a few minutes ahead of the show last week or recently, and we kind of came up with a topic or two that we wanted to talk about. And frankly, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit amazed that the rest of the world is a little bit more like us in how we look at retirement with the defined contribution plans, that there are some very big differences in how we put money away for retirement. We wanted to talk a little bit today about how maybe some of our listeners in the United States could be more savvy investors in these turbulent up and down times.
I think investors nowadays, irrespective of which jurisdiction they live in, they really need to pay attention to three very important aspects of investing. The first one is really the deferral rate or the savings rate. These tend to be very low in English-speaking countries. For example, in the U.S., in defined contribution plan, the average deferral rate is somewhere between 6 to 8%. It's about 6% in the U.K., and it's about 9% in Australia. And when I look at the Scandinavian countries like Finland, for example, it's 24%. And there is a very strong recognition that, in today's low return environment, you really need to build up the retirement pot, both through investing as well as through the through higher deferral rate, in order to make sure that, there is enough money to survive on during the retirement. So my first thing is, my first point is really about the deferral rate. My second point is really about behavioral biases. Both defined contribution investors as well as retail investors, they do display a lot of biases, like, they show herd instinct, they tend to follow five-star funds, there is very little contrarian investing. And, what history teaches us is that the best time to make money is when there is what Lord Baron Rothschild of that very famous banking family once described as blood in the streets. In other words, you've got to really get into the markets and buy on the dips. What we find is the tendency to buy five-star funds or tendency to buy when markets are riding really high. That is precisely the time to be selling and not buying. So my second point is, mind your biases and be a contrarian investor. My third point is really about the time perspective. There were some amazingly good investment strategies which got killed in the crisis after the Lehman collapse simply because there was a mass exit. Everybody headed for the door. And what we found was that investors ended up losing a huge amount of money. It was a year in which millions lost billions simply because they lost their nerve. Now, in investing, that is precisely the time to be buying, and that's also precisely the time to be holding your nerve, because the risk premium that comes with investing, it takes a long time to materialize. And in today's environment, you know, we are in a situation where the risk-return features of most asset classes have not only become unstable, but have become volatile. That's not to say that you would permanently end up losing money. What it basically means is that you need to be a bit more patient than you have been in the past. So, but those are the sort of three points that I'd like to get across. One about deferral rate, one about biases, and one about the time perspective.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's go back through those three. For the first one, with the deferral rate, the Scandinavian countries, that's extremely high. That's a great thing. Or we would look at it as high. They may see it as normal. What is the rate that we should try to promote that our English-speaking countries try to get to, maybe as a median?
Yeah. The research we've done seems to suggest that a respectable rate is somewhere within the 14 to 18% range. If it can be on the top side, you know, that really does provide the cushion against untoward market movements. And even 18%, which is at the high end of the range, is lower than the normal contribution rate in defined benefit plans, where, as you know, employers bear all the risk. The average contribution by employers in the defined benefit plans is somewhere between 20 to 22%. And even that level of contribution has failed to deliver decent pensions in the DB space. How can we expect to get decent pensions in the DC space with deferral rates of 6 to 8%? That's a big question.
I think you're exactly right. And that's because I think in this country, at least, we're living for now, not for the future.
Yeah. Now, you know, we have the same problem here in the UK, Buck, and that is a similar problem as we go east as well, that the tendency is for people to leave now and pay later. There is also a slight, not slight, but there is a sort of major worry about whether stock markets can really deliver in the long term. And many people are increasingly coming to the view that the fact that you may be putting away a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have a decent retirement. And, you know, the crisis that we had in 2008 has really frayed investors' nerves to a point where they're basically saying, or at least some of them are saying, you know, no matter what I do, I'm not really going to get a decent retirement pension, so I might as well, you know, leave for the day and worry about the problem if and when it arises. So part of the problem is not just investors' inertia, but it is fundamentally about the way the markets have behaved.
Okay, and let me ask you a question, because I think that deals back to when you were going through number two and talking about the Rothschilds. I think our version today of that would be Mr. Buffett and wanting to buy things when they're low. And as a result of this, a lot of this is, as you said, the herd instinct or emotion.
And the 24-hour news cycle really makes life very difficult for investors because, you know, for example, at the height of Lehman crisis, you know, everybody thought the sky was falling down. And I remember dealing with pension plans in Netherlands who generally tend to be very savvy and long-term. And even they lost their nerves and, you know, resorted to panic selling because they were basically saying, we got 60% of our liabilities maturing within the next 5 years. And gosh, we ain't going to have enough money in our bank account to pay those liabilities. Let's just get the hell out. And, you know, those kind of reactions, in a sense, are understandable. But what investors really need to recognize is that, you know, patience is a virtue in investing. And also, the worst time to be selling is when everybody else is selling. The best they can
Absolutely.
Do is wait until the markets recover and then get out. But most of them decided to get out in the last quarter of 2008 and first quarter of 2009. And, you know, the way the markets were behaving within that six-month period, it was truly scary for investors. And, you know, that behavior to a large extent was self-inflicted by investors themselves because, you know, many were panicking and rushing for the exit door.
Correct. We're talking with Professor Amin Rajan of Create Research in London. We're going to take a short break and be right back, and we're going to ask him to talk a little bit more about this short-term versus long-term mentality that we have in the United States for investing. We'll be right back.
Music.
ECM Group is the home of fiduciary coaching. Webster's Dictionary says a coach is one who instructs or trains. At ECM Group, we instruct and train 401k plan fiduciaries to understand their role and responsibilities in guiding their corporate retirement plan. If you are like most business owners or executives, you need to run your business or do your job full time, and 401k fiduciary compliance just isn't your day-to-day skill set. Let the prudent experts at ECM Group coach you through the 401k minefield of fiduciary compliance.
For information, contact Buck Blanton at 904-955-0853. That's 904-955-0853.
Listeners, thank you for being with us today. We're with Professor Amin Rajan of Create Research in London, England. And Professor Rajan, I wanted to go back to a point that you brought up and get more of a, let's drill a little bit further into that. We are very short-term oriented here in the United States. And compared to the rest of the world, they seem to have a better long-term approach to investing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and compare the two?
Yeah. I think what has happened in the U.S. is that, especially in the last 5 years, there has been more volatility in the market in the last 5 years than there had been in the previous 50 years. I've been looking at volatility data, and the last 5 years have been the most unusual in the history of investing. So as a result of that, you know, understandably, many investors take a short-term view. They see dislocations in the marketplace, and then they try and buy something and then hang on to it for a short period and then sell it. So opportunism is rife in the U.S., and to a lesser extent, it is in Europe here as well, but not so much as in the U.S. And that's largely because of this unusual volatility that we've had. So it's quite understandable that people take a short-term view. However, investors in Europe draw a distinction between short-term opportunism and medium-term asset allocation. What they do is they do go into the markets when they see short-term opportunities. But that happens only at the fringe of their portfolio. At best, they would invest something like 10 to 15% in some of these highly undervalued assets or mispriced assets. But the remaining 85% would be invested in a medium-term portfolio, you know, which would take a 5 to 7 year view. And there is a trend here, certainly in Europe, where, you know, people do tend to hang on to their investment over a much longer period than has been the case in the U.S. And I think in today's environment, you know, it's probably best to blend the two, whereby you, when you see short-term opportunities, you take advantage of them. But you only take advantage of them at the edge of your portfolio, because short-term opportunism is very much very similar to trading. And, you know, most investors don't have trading skills. CIOs, you know, who have tried to time the markets, you know, have sort of found that that really hasn't helped them at all. Many have had their fingers burnt, and somebody told me recently that, you know, the investment graveyard is full of CIOs who try to time the market. However, in today's market, it does pay to be opportunistic, where you really see good buying opportunities. But that, as I said, only happens at the edge of the portfolio. 80-85% it should really be invested in medium-term assets, because although risk premium is not so stable as it was in the past, it does materialize in the long term. You know, markets do retain the self-healing power. You know, markets do revert to the mean and so on. We don't know how long it takes, but I reckon that within 5 years, you know, we can see the results. Now, if you look at what happened after 2008 massacre that we had in the markets, you know, since then markets are up about 300%. It shows that markets do have self-healing power. And that's not only just in the United States. In other countries as well, markets have been sharply up since the low point in March 2009. So it pays to hang on to your stocks. It pays to have very strong beliefs about the companies and about the industries that you're investing in. And, you know, and not to panic at the first sound of gunfire in the marketplace, so to speak.
Absolutely. If you were to break down that 80-85% medium term piece of the portfolio, how would you break that down?
Depending upon the individual circumstances. For example, if I am advising somebody who is in his mid-50s or who is in her mid-50s, I would say to them that, you know, remain, at least have 40, 50% in equities. Equities have really taken a lot of beating, but there is a growing recognition that the bull market in bonds is really likely to end before long. And, you know, there aren't any other asset classes which can take the weight of money that's going to likely to come out of from bonds. Yes, some money will go into alternatives. Yes, some money will go into cash. But a lot of money is really going to end up in equities. So I do expect equity weighting of 50% to be quite justified. I will put something like 10% in real estate. I will put something like 15% in alternative credit. These are instruments like senior loan and mezzanine finance and private equity secondaries and distressed real estate and so on. I will put something like 10-15% in investment-grade corporate bonds, and then the rest I would put in sovereigns. At the moment, I'm not very optimistic about sovereigns in the sense that, they could deliver decent returns in a way that they have, but sovereigns are vastly, vastly overvalued at the moment, Buck. It's really hard to believe that they can go higher from where they are at the moment. So I would aim to be underweight in them, and I would aim to be overweight in equities. And when it comes to equities, I would also be overweight in high dividend equities, low variance equities, total return equities, and global equities. Regional equities are not likely to do as well as the global equities.
For our listeners in the United States, can you tell them what a sovereign is?
It's a government bond, sorry.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood what that was. Well, Professor Rajan, if you would, please give us your contact information and how people can get to some of your writings and some of your research.
Our website is www.create-research.co.uk. We'll be delighted to hear from your listeners, and we'll be delighted to engage in conversations with them.
Well, I want to tell you, we are just delighted, and it was such a treat to have you on our show today. And we would love to call you in the future when we see some of the changes in the market and to get some more wisdom from you.
I will be delighted to come back.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Listening today to Professor Amin Rajan from Create Research in the UK. And this is going to wrap up our show today. Wanted to let you know that we thank you for listening in. We hope you've heard something that will help you in some way with your future planning. A big thank you to our guests and to our sponsors, The Ultimate Business Owner, Exit Coach Radio, ECM Group, and Delta Business Services. Remember, we update our content daily, so please visit us often and tell your friends to find us at exitcoachradio.com. We're here to help you, our hero, the private business owner, with tips, ideas, and precautions so that you are well planned.
You've been listening to the Retirement Matters Show with Buck Blanton on the exitcoachradio.com network, where we upload new 1-minute tips and 20-minute interviews every day from our expert host on a wide variety of topics. And if you're on the go, you can listen from your smartphone. Just type in exitcoachradio.com on your mobile browser. Come listen for a minute. For exitcoachradio.com, I'm Spike Reel saying so long for now. Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and ECM Group are not affiliated.